This is the Selling More Homes Podcast, episode number 359. This week, design expert Lita Dirks discusses top trends that you need to know about in your new homes. This is Builder Radio, and your Monday morning sales meeting begins now. Welcome to the Selling More Homes Podcast. I'm Scott Stroud.
And I'm Brian Flook.
And Brian, you were on vacation for a couple of weeks, and it's good to have you back.
I was. Thank you. It's good to be back, but it was fun to be away.
Good. Well, it must be. I'll have to take your word for it. Hey, we've got a nice interview coming up, and it's someone who, honestly, I've been trying for probably 3 years to get on the show, and we just haven't been able to get our schedules in unison here, and that's Lita Dirks. And Lita's a friend of yours.
You know, I've passed Lita in the halls for probably 25 years, and about 8 years ago, we ran into each other in the airport. We sat down and we had lunch and a drink together, and she's just one of my favorite people out there. What a nice person, very knowledgeable about her trade, and we're pretty fortunate to have her with us.
And Lita's also very active in the Sales and Marketing Council and the Institute of Residential Marketing, and I saw her at the International Builder Show prior to the show when I was attending some of those events there with that group, and we were able to put this together and finally get her on the show. She's going to share some tips with us on design tips. First of all, Lita Dirks and Company is a design and merchandising firm, and she stays up to date with all that's current in interior design and merchandising.
Yeah, everybody's going to want to listen, because these are the kind of little things. You just take away one or two things from this and you can change the way a house sells. You can change what you sell this year. So I'm anxious for us to hear what she has to say.
We're going to talk about just four or five, but she has 25 top trends that she'll be sharing with us through her blog that we'll connect you to as we go. So let's go ahead and get Lita on the line.
All right.
Lita, welcome to Builder Radio. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
We were just talking how long we had been trying to get together and have you on Builder Radio, and it's been a long time coming here for the interview, so we're delighted to have you join us today. Our topic is going to be top trends in new home design and interior and just the things that we need to know about in terms of what buyers are looking for. But before we get into that today, Lita, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you serve the industry.
Well, thank you. I have been in the industry for many years. Our company is called Lita Dirks and Company, and we refer to ourselves as a national award-winning interior merchandising firm. We are located in Denver, Colorado. However, our clients go border to border, and we're very lucky to have the wonderful people that we've been working with for so many years. We work with builders and developers doing their model homes, their sales centers, their design centers, and any of the different amenity spaces, the clubhouses that are connected to residential housing. Our expanse is, I just call it very fun.
Well, so you have to stay up on what's current, and that's your universe. You stay on what's new, on what's selling, on what's exciting, and what motivates buyers to take action. Let's just go right into what you're seeing in the industry today, in the marketplace, and what's new that all of us should be aware of when we're planning new models or planning new sales centers.
At the beginning of every year, we try to take a look at what we've seen that was very positive the year previous and what we're expecting to see because of our experience in the years to come. And we found that it really helps not only us in the development of a community or a project that we're working on, but it also helps our clients a lot. We do a lot of listening and research on our own to really try to come up with some form of a list that's going to help all of us as we work through the journey of the coming year. And I would like to start with what I think is so super important, and that would be indoor-outdoor relationships in housing. Ooh. And I think it all starts with a good plan. We are very involved as often as possible to help in the development of the floor plan. We feel that product design from the beginning is the best way to create the bones of the project. And if you have good bones, then from there on, it's a matter of really helping the builder display what they are building and really show it off to its best advantage. But I think those indoor-outdoor relationships in our floor plans are becoming more and more important. You find that the buyer is trying to extend their lifestyle. They don't want to be captured in another closed environment. Most people are working all day in that closed environment, and when they get home, they're looking for a way to feel that kind of freedom. And one of the ways that most of us are finding that freedom is some kind of a connection to nature itself, to the outdoors. You'll find in a lot of decor, from accessories to different finishes, in the materials that we're using in our homes, that they are nature-inspired. They're textural. They may be made of something connected with, I want to say, a stone or a tree. They have a feeling of airiness or water or leaves. So the feeling of nature and being able to bring it in, either in an accessory or a tabletop, just any way to show that nature has inspired it, I think is really important to help with people feel more balanced in their life. Not only are we finding that nature is being brought in with the different accessories and finishes that we're using, but also just the way the floor plan is walking. Most of us are used to decks and patios, but the deck and patio needs to really relate much more to the living on the inside of the home. It's not just going down to Lowe's and buying a table and four or six chairs because you're going to have the barbecue outside. It's a matter of how you can extend the square footage of the interior of the home to the outside so that they really relate with finishes and with furniture that feel like they truly belong inside or outside, so that when you do open the door, you can extend that living space. That's where you're seeing the nano walls that can really open up spaces. And it may not work for every builder because every budget isn't going to be there, nor is the budget of a buyer. However, being able to have that glass that can be opened or just being able to be looked through is so important. So I hope I haven't overdone that kind of conversation on indoor-outdoor, but I think that it's truly one of the missing links that some of our plans have not yet really truly brought to life. And I think when you do find that a builder is paying a lot of attention to that indoor-outdoor relationship, then the next thing is to make sure you show it off by truly merchandising it the way people can understand how it's not just a patio, it's not just a deck, it is truly an additional room within that whole space. It enlarges the great room, it enlarges the family room, it enlarges the kitchen, whatever. That is one of the top trends that we're seeing, and it's becoming stronger and stronger and in every location of the country. Another thing that it's not as glamorous, but on the other hand, it is so, so important to buyers and all of our trends would be storage. With homes not always being as large as they had been. And when I say that, I hesitate because I think that a lot of floor plans may be operating with a little less square footage, but the square footage has been reassigned to make it far more functional and livable. And within that square footage, storage becomes very, very important. I wonder to myself sometimes if one of the reasons that storage is even more important than ever is because of the clean lines of the interiors that have become so very popular over these past, you know, 5 to 6 years. The other reason that storage is important is people buying in bulk more than ever before. Where do I put it? How do I store it? I don't want it out there, especially with my clean lines.
When it comes to storage, I mean, storage has always been an issue when you're buying a house, and that's what people look for. So how are you coming up with creative ways to create new storage spaces?
Well, I love imagination. I believe in imagination. It's creative thought that helps to find little nooks and crannies that really can be developed into wonderful storage. We all know that we need pantries. We know we need closets. We know we would like some kind of an entry closet. We know we need linen closets. Those are all things that we know we need. And we know we need really great closets, especially in master bedrooms. in the master bedroom, it's the design of the closet, the way the shelves and hanging are systemized so that they make the best use out of the space. I'm a true believer in how wonderful some of these closet systems are, and I think that one of the details in some of those closet systems that can be a selling point, which actually was a selling point for me in my last house, was the top drawer in our closet system. I opened that up, and when I saw that it was a little drawer there that was used for jewelry, I realized I wanted that house because I loved the idea that I would have that top drawer for jewelry. So I think that the attention to the detail that you can put in especially a master bedroom closet can truly help sell and add tremendous value to that closet, no matter how big or little it is, because it looks like you have more function. We've been noticing, and we've been trying to find places, especially like under the stairs. You don't have to just open up a door and put something under a stair, but you can truly create it into becoming a wonderful library, a second a study space, a wonderful bar area, all of these kind of little nooks and crannies that can add to the storage, add to the function, just little corners that oftentimes can be wasted space. Recently, I saw an example, and I thought that it was very, very clever. The designer had, in a kitchen, had just turned the cabinetry on an end so that that one end panel became a long pantry for housing brooms or mops because it was long and it was narrow. But it was very clever and it was very simple. It was a really creative solution to additional storage and not a lot of cost to the builder and tremendous value added for the buyer.
So we've talked about indoor-outdoor living and that transition that's becoming more important. And we've talked about storage. What's next?
I call them family entries. Some people would maybe refer to them as drop zones or mudrooms. I think that family entry is sort of a nice way to say it. That entry that comes from the garage, the courtyard, that entry is what I'm referring to as a family entry. That is the room that for years we've entered probably from a garage. You enter, you see your laundry room and the big bag with all the dirty laundry in it, and they're usually cramped. They can barely get enough space in there for the washer and dryer, let alone any more space. And you walk through that. 90% of the time, that's where you're entering and leaving your home. And actually, if you go to pick up Aunt Molly at the airport and she's coming to visit for the weekend, you bring your car into the garage, you help Aunt Molly out, you go to the back door, you don't bring her in the front entry, and they go through that back entry, and that's the first vision they get, is the laundry and washer and dryer. And it's not very beautiful, and it's not a wonderful way, even for you as the homeowner, every evening, coming back from work and entering and not having a wonderful feeling. It's a place that we're improving and improving. I think over the past couple of years, we've tried different things, and I think they're becoming better and better. I think that it has to start with product development and allowing enough space from that garage into the interior of the home. They want to be able to walk in and feel good. Even if you walk in and there's a flat wall in front of you with a beautiful picture or a mirror or something so you can check yourself going in and coming out, but they're becoming a little larger. They're becoming a place where you can hang your umbrella, you can put on your boots before you walk out to take the dog out. They're becoming much more usable, functional spaces while also looking beautiful. The view is nice when you come in that family entry. It's not going to be as spectacular as coming in the front door, but at least every day you can get home, get out of the car, and come in that entry and hopefully feel that you've entered that sanctuary again that's your home and feel good about it. There are many ways that they're being laid out. They can be very, very casual, but they can be a little bit softly formal. They're places that you can be proud of, not taking people through the front door, although the front door is still the best place to take them through. But anyway, that the family entry is a place that we're spending a lot of time thinking about from the very beginning of product development in through showing people how they truly can live and enjoy those spaces. Another trend, there's always something with kitchens that we would call on trend. We all know that the island is super important, but the other thing that I would say not to overlook this year when you're thinking of the kitchen is what we're referring to as the seamless kitchen. And the seamless kitchen, my best way to use it, you don't need to undulate your cabinets, moving them forward and backward, nor do you have to raise and lower the sizing. What you want is a much simpler look. You want it to look the same depth all the way across. You'd like it to go to a same height, or you want it to go all the way to the ceiling. But whatever it is, the simplicity of the line in a kitchen is real important. The other thing that we're beginning to see, and I think we're going to be looking at more and more in the coming years, is how you incorporate that pantry into the seamless kitchen. So many times now, that pantry looks like, it looks like a laundry door. It's not of the same finish or same stain or same profile as the cabinetry of the kitchen, yet oftentimes that pantry might be right next to, or maybe on both sides of it, you will see cabinetry. So in order to create a seamless kitchen, what you would like to do is make that pantry blend in and look like it's all part of the cabinetry in the kitchen, rather than looking like a bathroom or a hall door. So it's not standing out on its own. Here again, I think it goes back to that nature-inspired kind of decor that we're seeing more of. That seamless kitchen makes you feel much softer, more relaxed, more even, calmer. People right now, when they're, most of their lives are not real calm. The constant stimulation of their work, of their iPad, their phone, the busyness of their families, the timelines that they're constantly on, you know, almost 24/7, everybody is trying to find a way to have less stress, to feel calmer, to have, in a sense, a seamless life and make things much easier when they come back to their home. So the seamless kitchen is just part of it, and you can just, when I think about it, I sort of feel it. It calms me to even use the word seamless kitchen.
It does. That's a nice thought, and it contributes to that overall thought of sanctuary, where the home really should be the haven from the rest of the world. Good.
Absolutely.
Those are four interesting topics, and I've got to say that when we've talked about design trends before, that I think even though these have been hinted at by other sources, this is the first time I've heard them expressed in this detail in this way, so I appreciate it. Lita, we've got time for one more top trend to share with us on the program here, and I know that you've got 10 on the blog that we'll post, and then you've got another 15 coming that you're adding to that. So we'll have a link to that. But share one more top trend with us.
Another thing that I feel is super important right now is tiles. The tiles have become such an exciting design feature. Now, we know that tiles are important. For example, whether they're used on the floor so that there's something that we walk on, or whether they're tiles in a bathroom, they need to be there because they're keeping the water where it belongs. But, you know, so tiles are something that are very important to us, but they've become such beautiful features in a home. And what we've noticed with tiles is that they've become like an extra large formatted material. So you're seeing the sizes and even the shapes have changed. Recently I had a client that we had suggested a large six-sided kind of a tile, and it was like about a 20 to 24 inch tile, and he said, oh my gosh, I'm afraid that's going to be too big for my bathroom. The bathroom's only this kind of size. And I looked at that bathroom and looked at that tile, and I said, oh my gosh, absolutely not. This is exactly the way it should look, because that larger format made the space look beautiful. It accented the space. It added a beautiful detail to the floor, and it was absolutely perfect. But these extra large formatted tiles create wonderful depth and wonderful dimension the way they're placed add to the space depending on the directions that you put them. But don't be afraid of something that might be a 24 by a 48 or a 12 by 24. And don't be afraid of some of the geometric tiles that we're going to be seeing more and more of. They'll have a graphic look, like I said, the sixth side or the eighth side. Also, we're beginning to see more of rather than the squares or the rectangles. And if you still do a square tile, that's fine. But long gone are just the 4x4s and the 6x6s. Don't be afraid to go to an 18 or a 24, you know, square. But make them large, and you add a lot of value to the look of the tile and to the room.
You know, in all five of these tips that you shared with us in trends, I'm hearing texture, material, geometry, even with the storage space and closets and things. You're really given an emphasis on the touch and feel that you
Absolutely.
Get from each of these. I think that's very interesting. A question here. If we're a builder, we're looking at some new plans that we want to introduce, how would we take into consideration the trends and what's coming, what's current in the plans that we're developing and designing to bring to market here this year?
One of the things when it comes to developing plans that I feel is super important, they've been designed by the architect, you've had the engineer look at them, the builder has looked at them. I think you need to spread it to your designer too. Having that other eye to be able to take a look at how the spaces are really relating to one another, and to put furniture down on that plan. And then the idea with these different trends is to walk through the home with those trends in mind. And am I capturing that? Like, am I capturing a bit of nature? Do I have an indoor-outdoor relationship? We did develop a checklist at the beginning of the year to try to see, am I capturing that? Do I have enough storage? Where do I have it? Do I have a family entry? Have I just put enough space in there for a washer and dryer? Keeping some form of a trend list there and trying to evaluate it from several different eyes. Eyes meaning the eye of the architect, which I think is so important, the eye of the builder himself, the eye of your purchasing agent, the eye of your marketing person, the eye of the salesperson that's going to absolutely have to sell it, and then the eye of the designer. I think that all these different people should take a look at it from their perspective and work to develop absolutely the best plan possible, because again, it goes back to really those good bones. You have those good bones, then you want to display the good bones.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. These have been some great points. And by the way, let me count. About 8,000 people just raised their hand and said, yes, we'd like to have that checklist, please. So,
okay.
So if we can post it there on the blog, that would be great. Hey, Lita, these have been some interesting topics. And again, you're approaching design and merchandising from a different perspective than we've heard others talk about it in the past. And we appreciate that very much.
Well, thank you.
We've been speaking with Lita Dirks with Lita Dirks & Company. Lita, thank you so much for sharing these thoughts with us. And we look forward to the next trends that you're about to share with us in the future.
Well, thank you for having me. I've enjoyed it very much, Scott.
So, Brian, we talked about those five trends that we have, and there's more that she's sharing with us, again, on our blog and on hers at Lita Dirks & Company. What are your thoughts on the texture and feel and geometry?
Well, I'll tell you, the thing she talked about that I just wanted to hear more about is the whole inside-outside relationship thing, because I just see it everywhere I go, and personally, I love it. You know, I built my house 13 years ago, and even back then, I put a gigantic window in my family room so I could see out. And my wife and I have talked about, you know, how do we do some really cool outdoor stuff? And I wanted to ask her the question, but I knew we just didn't have time, but maybe Lita can call me if she hears this. You know, I wonder how it differs between if you live in Atlanta or you live in New York or you live in Arizona. You know, those outdoor spaces, there have to be some differences. And I'd be very curious to see what she has to say about that.
Yeah. You know, in my past, when I was building houses and designing, actually, and working for a log home company, we did houses in Florida and Georgia and New York. And in log homes, the outdoor living was always part of it. That's just part and parcel with the genre there with that. I know in the northern climates, the porches and patios would have outdoor fireplaces, sometimes outdoor kitchens that we'd put in there. And the farther south you got, the more of that you saw with some of those design elements that you would think would be in the inside were on the outside. But I think she was talking here about the texture and about making that transition, which I thought was interesting.
The way to make, you know, small spaces look big. Really enjoyed it. Hope our listeners enjoy it as well.
Yeah. Next week, we're going to have another brand new person, somebody I'm looking forward to having, Ralph Williams. His company is Sales Solve Everything. And there's nobody here that's not shaking their head going, boy, that's the truth. Sales solve everything. So he's out of the Dallas area, and we're looking forward to having Ralph on next week. So until then, I'm Scott Stroud.
And I'm Brian Flook.
And thanks for listening to Builder Radio on the Power Marketing Media Network.